1980s and early 1990s, you may remember the popular TV show called Cheers. And the show was a story of how a group of people from all different walks of life gathered together. They found a friendship, if you will, at a local bar named Cheers. That's how it got its name, the show Cheers. And for them, Cheers wasn't really about the drinks and the food. It was really a place where everybody could belong. It was kind of the place where it became their family, their support unit. It became the place where no matter where they were in their crazy life in this huge city of Boston, it was a place where they could really belong. And so usually what would happen is if one of the people were going through something difficult in their lives, or if there was a season where maybe somebody had something incredible celebration going on, Cheers was the place that they wanted to go because they were surrounded by friends that they wanted to share that with. And the thing that I've learned about when you're surrounded by people that love you and care for you, what happens is when you have some kind of struggle in your life and you have other people to share it, that struggle is usually halved. You're not carrying it all on your own because somebody's there helping you, shouldering that burden with you. But also, if you have a joy, if some celebration's going on in your life and you have people that love and care for you that are surrounding you, then that joy is usually doubled, because you're not celebrating it alone. And so that's kind of what happened at Cheers. And so what happened is when the show is really, really known for a catchy theme song. And most of you have heard the theme song before. You probably can sing it in your head, but it's a catchy chorus that says this: sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and you're always glad they came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I know you guys are singing that in your head right now. Like, I know how this goes. But I think the reason that song and that show really hit it big, it's because there's something inside of you and there's something inside of me that looks at that and hears that and says, you know what? I want that. I want to be in a place like that where everybody knows my name and where we share in each other's burdens and we can share each other's joys. We want to be in a place like that. And the thing is we're not looking for a cheap smile and a surface level conversation. We get that everywhere around us. We can talk to people, but we experience that. But we really are looking for a place where we can really belong, where people really care about us. And that's because God has made you for that. God has wired you with this desire for belonging. We all have this desire to belong. Everybody does. And so many of us, though, have looked for that belonging in so many different places in the world. And we find that it's easy to find it in a TV show, but it's really hard to find in real life. Now, I have a son named Peyton. He's almost 2 years old. And we went to the Suwanee Town Center the other day. Kids can seem to fit in and belong way quicker than we can as adults or as youth. Because my son Peyton just walks up to a perfect stranger and starts dancing during the food truck Friday. And all of a sudden, he's got a group of friends. And I'm thinking, how can he start to belong so quickly? And yet, we look for belonging so many times and it's so hard to find it. We know in real life it's a lot more difficult than what we see in the movies and on TV shows. But the thing is that God has created for you and for me a place where we can really belong, and that's the church. And so today's the second week of our series called A Place for Everyone. And we're really talking about this belonging. What does it mean to belong to God and to belong to the church? And last week, we talked about how God has created you and me to belong to him, with a relationship to God, which is awesome. But today, we're going to be focusing on the fact that you are made to belong with God's family. So we talked about the vertical plane last week, and today we're going to be focusing on the horizontal plane, one another. And you notice it kind of makes a cross. This is one of the things that Jesus died on the cross to bring you into. Fellowship with him, perfect fellowship with him, and so that we might have an opportunity to not be alone. That we can have an opportunity to start loving one another and experience these kind of belonging and connections like we've been created to have. And so that's what we're talking about today. And that place is the church. Because you're no longer called to be, you're not just called to be a believer. Now, God wants everybody to be a believer, but there's something even more. God wants you to be a belonger. The purpose of you believing is so that you can belong in God's family. God wants that for you and for me, to belong to Him and to belong with one another. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, you may remember the story of creation. God's created everything perfectly, and He puts Adam in the garden. And it's just, don't picture like a boring garden. Picture like Maui at sunset. It was a place where it was perfect. It was the perfect place you'd want to be. And he had this undivided relationship with God. And you would think that Adam would have everything that he needed. And in the middle of that, God says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good. The first time God says something isn't good, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, certainly he creates Eve, and so that's about a spouse, but it also is talking about community and belonging, that we weren't made to be left alone. And so God doesn't want us to get isolated or disconnected from other people. You have this God-wired desire to belong to other people and to have meaningful relationships. And the church, God meets needs in all sorts of ways. When we say Christ is enough, it's not saying, okay, Christ is enough and then I need something else. It's saying, no, Christ, you are enough. But Christ, in order to give you what you need, created the church so that you can have a place to really find the belonging, connection, and purpose that you've been created to have. You know, the word for church, this is a little dorky, so you can ignore this if you don't like dorky stuff. But for those of you dorks like me out there, you can follow along with this. But the word for church in the Greek language, it's the original language of the New Testament, is ecclesia, or ekklesia. And ekklesia. And so it comes from two words, ek, meaning out, and kaleo, which means call. It's like, okay, why are you telling me that? Well, it's because the church literally means it's the people who were called out from the world and called by God. That's what it means. And so church isn't an event. Church isn't just a program we come to. It's not something we just experience on Sundays. Church is not a building that we go to. Church is a relationship. It's the people are the church. It's a place that we're called to. It's a group of people we're called to belong to. And I think it's fitting that we're talking about the church today, because today is actually the birthday of the church. When we celebrate the birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ, today's Pentecost. And if you don't know what that means, penta meaning five, it's 50 days after Easter. 50 days after Easter is when Jesus, after Jesus, rose from the grave and was with us and, on earth after a little bit and ascended into heaven. On Pentecost, that's when the church started. God sent His Holy Spirit and filled every single believer, and the church began. And it started spreading like wildfire. And so today we celebrate on Pentecost, and we talk about the early part of the church. So today, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be reading about the early church and kind of what they experienced and really the belonging that came for every believer through the church. And so Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, and you can remain seated. In fact, you may want to take a couple notes as we're going by, because we're going to break this down a little bit. But this is what the apostles, or this is what the early disciples experienced, the early church. And so here's what it says in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. It says, those who accepted his message, it was Peter's message about Jesus, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Verse 42, they devoted themselves, talking about the apostles, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And let me just pause here for a minute, because, and I've shared about this before with you, but this is actually our model for refresh groups. These four things. You notice there's four things they devoted themselves to. Devoted means that they gave their attention to it. It means that they gave their resources to it. They spent time doing that. And there were four things: apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And that's something that that at the Fountain, we've modeled all of our groups after this. All of our groups do all four things. And it's really one of those things where they spent time with the apostles' teaching. For us, that means we read the word together. And so we do that in our groups, in our refresh groups. It's an opportunity where you can get together with other people, read the word, and start talking about, what does this mean? Like, how do we apply this and figure out how to live that out in the world? So the apostles' teaching. The other thing groups do is they fellowship. We know that. We're good at fellowshipping and everything. Fellowship is kind of a funny word to simply mean that you're in close relationship with each other, that you're hanging out together, you're enjoying each other. And, fellowship is one of the five purposes of the church. It's one of the things that we're really focusing on in this series. We're talking about the fellowship aspect of it. But here's the thing, you can't have fellowship and belonging if you're not intentionally around each other. You've got to be committed to be around one another in order to have that fellowship and that belonging God wants to give you. So they committed to themselves to those two. That also, the breaking of bread. Now, I grew up in a church where we did a lot of fellowship suppers. We ate a lot of food. In fact, you know, we do a lot of things with food at the fountain with all of our groups and different things. And the thing that I found out about food, it kind of seems funny. Like, why do they include breaking of bread? Because it seems kind of superficial if you think about it. But what really, what I found with food is that food is something that helps to connect people together. When you have a meal, or when, I know at my family's house, if we're going to hang out somewhere, it's usually in the kitchen. It's usually where stuff's going on, where there's food around. Food is something that helps people to connect. So it really helped the disciples to fellowship with one another. Now, if you've been a part of a group before, a lot of our groups have some kind of food in it, whether it's snacks or sometimes it's a full course meal, or they'll go out together. And that's, I think it's an important part of helping people to connect. And here's why. Families eat together. I remember one of the most intimate times in family life usually is when you sit down and you have a meal together. Because what happens when you're eating food and you're sitting around at the table? You start talking with one another and getting to know one another. And the thing that we found, the thing that the disciples found, is that as you share a meal, as you share food together, that you start to become like family together as you're fellowshipping. So breaking of bread. And the fourth thing they did was committed to pray together. So this is kind of what we do in all of our groups. And because they focused on those four things, check out the result in verse 43. Here's what it says in verse 43 was the result of them investing in these four things. It says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Now that's also had to do with the Holy Spirit was in them and all that stuff. But because they were committed to those things, they had meaningful purpose and they also had meaningful ministry. They felt like they meant something to the kingdom and to one another. They saw God use them. Verse 44, here was another result. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Because they committed to those four things, they had unity. They felt like they were part of a team together. Then it says in verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, which means that they supported each other. Because they did these four things, they felt this incredible support by one another. And I want you to notice in verse 46 where they met. This is like the place where things happen. Verse 46, it says this. Every day they continued to meet together where? In the temple courts. Also, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So they met together in the temple courts. So for instance, they worshiped together corporately, kind of like we do on Sundays, or just like we do on Sundays. And they met together in their homes in smaller groups. And the thing that I found is that as they did that, they felt this sense of belonging, connection, not only to God, but to one another. And the thing I found in my life is that if you're missing one or the other, you're usually going to be missing something that God wants to give you. If you come to worship and you're not connected in a smaller group of people that can support you, you're going to be missing that support and that connection. Whereas if you're involved in a group and you don't come to corporate worship, you're going to be missing something. And so that's why it's really God wanting to help us. And so this is the model the disciples used. And now I want you to check out the result of what happened in verse 47 of all this. It says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now it's amazing what happened to these disciples. It's amazing what happened in this community called the church. It was so attractive. It was something that when people experienced it, they wanted to be part of it. And the thing that I've found is that people are looking for a place, looking for meaningful relationships and a place to belong. And the thing is, when these 3,000 people found that, they wanted to be part of it. You notice it doesn't say they were so attracted to it because of the amazing worship music or the sermon that was delivered. Although those are really important things in helping us to grow. What attracted them to being part of the family of God was being in fellowship and in connection with other believers who had a relationship with the Lord and who wanted to deeply invest in one another. And people said, I've been looking for this my whole life. I want to be part of that. And I think people are still looking for that today. And so that's why it's so important for us, for you and for me and for everybody in the world. Christine Pohl once said that today we find ourselves in a fragmented and multicultural society that yearns for relationships, identity, and meaning. See, God put the church in place in order to meet those needs in your life. God put the church, the people in the church, in place to meet those needs in your life. So I want you to, this is kind of participatory, so I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell them two things. One, you belong to me, and I depend on you. Go ahead and tell them that. You belong to me, and I depend on you. Now turn to the other neighbor. Turn to the other neighbor you are ashamed to talk to and say, even though I was ashamed of you, you belong to me, and I depend on you. Now I hope no marriage proposals end up happening because of that. I'm sorry, guys, if I caused that. You know, we're having a lot of babies here at the Fountain. We know there's something in the water, so if that happens too, you know, we'll just go with it. So I apologize. But Jeff Foxworthy tells this story in one of his comedy routines. Funny, funny guy. He tells a story of taking his entire family to California for vacation after he made it really big, and he was there at in Los Angeles, and he took his family to the La Brea Tar Pits, and as he's there, him and his brother were looking around at everything, and his brother, he says, my brother looked at me and says, man, I didn't think them dinosaurs would come this close to downtown. And he started looking at everything like, downtown wasn't there back. And he just kind of hit his head like, are you serious? And he told in this comedy routine, that's my family, guys. That's my blood, you know. And so if you wonder where his jokes come from, you know it comes from his family. But have you ever felt that way about your family before? You don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. But, you know, it's kind of like, well, yeah, they're kind of nutty. But in the end, they're mine. They're my family. And so I have news for you today is that if you belong to Jesus, if you're connected to him, then the scripture says that you're also connected to everybody in here and every believer all around the world. It means we're family. We're connected together. You know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And so you're stuck with each other. And so I'm just playing. You're not stuck with each other. But if you're in the family of God, you're connected forever and ever. And so we have a role of being able to say, hey, as family members, let's connect together and love each other well. And so the bottom line I have for you today, this is, if you don't get anything else, here's what I want you to know from the message. You need the people of the church, and the people of the church need you. You need the people of the church, and the people of the church need you. We need each other. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. But you're not meant to be, I think so many times, especially in this area and throughout America, we've gotten into this Christian life where we have the Christian radio, we can listen to sermons online, and we can have church by ourselves, and we can get into a rut where we're spiritual hermits, where we're just kind of in our own little God shell, and God didn't make you to live like that. God wants us to be connected to other people because you need the people in the church. And the people of the church need you. God doesn't want us to miss out on any of the benefits of being a part of his family. But you may be saying, okay, Andy, I get that. I love God, but I just don't like the church. I met a lot of people like that. And that's okay. I know that there's been a lot of things in some people's lives. I know we've all had experiences that maybe turned us away or turned us off or kind of said, is that who Jesus is like? So people say a lot of times, like, I love God, but I just don't like the church. And the best thing I can kind of share with you is that Jesus is the bride of Christ. Or Jesus says that we're the bride of Christ. Excuse me. Jesus said that we're the bride of Christ. We're the bride. He's the groom, and he can't wait. He can't wait to see his bride in full glory. He loves the church. And so it's kind of funny, man, I can just talk to you about this. How would you feel if somebody said to you, you know what, I really like you, I like hanging out with you, but I just don't like your wife? I mean, you'd be like, well, those are fighting words. Or maybe to up this a little bit more, how would you feel, guys, if somebody were to say, you know, I really like you, but your wife is ugly. Like, she doesn't look good. And that's kind of how Jesus feels about it when we talk bad about the church, because Jesus loves the church. Even though it might be fragmented and broken people in it, Jesus looks at the church and says, I love this. I love you. And so Jesus wants us to be part of that church that's even broken and fractured, the church that Jesus wants to make whole. But it's a reminder that for us that we have to love the church if we love the Lord. Jesus loves the church, and he wants us to love the church too. You know, in the Bible, to help you out a little bit more, I'm going to give you five pictures of kind of what it looks like to be part of the church. Five pictures that are given by God in the Word, or I guess you could say five metaphors as well, that are given to talk about the church. There's different aspects and different needs that we have that God supplies through these five through these five pictures of the church. They really meet five of our deepest needs for belonging. So here they are really quickly, and you can write these down if you want to. But here's the five really quick. The first one is family. God calls the church a family. The second is a temple or a building. And we'll go back over this. Number three is a body. Number four is a flock. And number five is a vineyard or a garden. So let's just kind of go through that because I want to help you to understand it. Because I think if you understand what the church is meant to do for you and what you're meant to do for the church, it helps us better to live out the purpose God has for us to belong and to have relationships with one another. You know, the first thing is the church is a family. And one of the biggest questions that everybody wants to know is, who am I? Who am I? When I went off to college, that was one of the biggest questions. And it's kind of funny, like everybody's searching for their identity. Everybody knows, okay, my name is this, but everybody's trying to find themselves and who God has made them to be. You know, family is where you first learn your identity. And usually, that's why so many people look back at genealogies, because they want to know, who am I? And so you find your identity in relationship with other people. In fact, think about how you normally talk about yourself. Think about how we normally talk about ourselves. One of the things that I would say is, well, I'm Andy. I'm married to Mandy. I have a son named Peyton, two relationships. I'm the son of David and Jennifer. I'm the oldest of five kids. I am the pastor of the Fountain, which means these are the people that I identify with. And so whatever your work is. See, the thing that we do so many times is that our identity is tied to our relationships. And it's our connections with other people. That's where we find our identity. But the problem for many of us is that many of us have experienced broken relationships in our lives. And when we have broken relationships in our lives, we start to ask the question, well, who am I? And so maybe I've seen people who, have been married for years and years and years, and maybe their spouse passes away. And later on in life, and in a moment like that, when suddenly it's been both of them, they start to wonder, okay, now that I don't have them around with me, who am I? Having to find myself. And so that's the thing. When we oftentimes have to find ourselves based on those relationships. But Hebrews chapter 2 gives us good news. It says, but both the one who makes people holy, who is Jesus, and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. See, it means that we're invited to be part of God's family, that God calls us brothers and sisters. And the thing I know about brothers and sisters, I know a lot about brothers and sisters. I've got two brothers and sisters. And the thing that I know is that you might argue a little bit, you might kind of disagree and stuff like that, but in the end, if somebody steps in the middle of your family and is hurting one of your brothers or sisters, you don't let anything come between you and your family. You support your family. You stick up for your family. And it means that God is also not ashamed of you. And so that's good news for you and for me. So when I'm in the family of God, it means that I have an identity that's secured. So that's one of the first things that we get from the church. Our identity is secured because the church is a family. The second picture that we get of what the church is God's temple. It's God's temple. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? He's talking about the church. You're God's temple and the spirit of God lives inside of you. That's what we talked about with Pentecost. So the temple is kind of this building that's erected for God's glory. You know, have you ever been on a side of a building before where they're like under construction? Have you ever been in a place like that before? I remember when my parents' house was being built and getting to walk in, we would go in there all the time to make sure they were building stuff right, you know? And we would go in and it's fascinating to look around and see it's thousands and thousands of pieces, building materials that have to be somehow put together to make a house. And the most important thing is you can have all these pieces, but in order to make a house, it has to fit together properly. And so if one board is cut just an inch short, it doesn't hold up the roof. Or if one pipe is 1 inch long, it means that it doesn't make a connection. And if it doesn't make the connections throughout the building, you don't have a building. And so the thing that I've found is that a building can't stand on its own power. It's got to be connected. It's got to be fit together. I've also noticed that in a building, sometimes you'll find some spare parts. some spare parts that are laying around. And you know, they're not really part of a building, but they're in the building. And the thing that I've realized, and this applies for us, is that you can be a piece of wood inside of a building, but not really be a part of the building. And so for you and for me, it means that we have to be connected. We have to be connected and fit together in order for us to have that sense of belonging. But through the church, you can have stability in your life. And so that's the second thing, that God's temple is the church, and it provides stability. The third thing is the church is Christ's body. If you're taking notes, the church is Christ's body. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the series, so we're going to kind of skip through this really, really quickly. But church is a body. It simply means that through every single person in the church has value. Every single person has value. It means that you matter. Just think about the human body. In the human body, every single part matters. We know if one little tiny thing stops working properly in our body, we got to go to the doctor, because the whole body starts to not work the way it was supposed to work. And so every single part matters. So it's a reminder for us, since the church is Christ's body, you need the church, and the people of the church need you. And so when you realize that, I believe that you have value to your life, that you matter. The fourth thing, the fourth picture that's given is the church is God's flock. Now, we don't talk about this a whole lot, but it's what it's talking about is a flock of sheep, And we don't really deal much with sheep in the suburbs. I remember one time an acting thing where it was like the little town of Bethlehem, and it was replaying the Christmas story. And I remember they had like live sheep out in the field. And that was like the first time I'd ever seen sheep. So we're not used to talking about sheep. And I don't know about you, but I don't really like to be called a sheep, because what I've heard about sheep is that sheep aren't really smart. I don't like to be told that, right? But the thing is that what the Lord is talking about is that we don't realize how well sheep have to be taken care of. They're very dependent. And, you know, they don't have any natural defenses to protect themselves from wolves that come up. You know, they're dependent on somebody to protect them and a shepherd to lead them. And what the Lord is trying to say is, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one who protects you. I'm the one who leads you. But it also talks about in the word that the people of the church are called to shepherd and care for one another. We're called to care and shepherd one another. I mean, that's my role as a pastor as well. The word pastor comes from the word shepherd. So I'm to shepherd and lead you spiritually, to guide you spiritually. But also we as a church have a role of caring for one another. And so it says in Galatians chapter 6, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Another one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. See, in God's flock, the thing that I found is that we're protected and we also are cared for. That's what God wants to do in your life as you're connected to the church, protected and cared for. But the only way that happens is if you get connected in a smaller group, because it doesn't usually happen in a large group like this. Fifth purpose of the church, illustration of the church, it's God. It says that it's God's garden or vineyard. John chapter 15, Jesus said, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. That's Jesus saying, I'm the vine and we are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so that means that God and the people in the church were put in place in order to help you to grow. That's one of the purposes of the church, is to help you to grow. And the thing that I've found is that if you're not connected to God, and if you're not connected with the church, you're not going to grow the way God wants you to grow. God wants to lead you into a growing relationship, and he uses other people to help you to do that. And so through the church, you can have fruitful, you can have a life that's fruitful and productive. So these are really the five illustrations. And I think you see that you can, when you belong to the church, you can have a significant and have a significant role, you have a sense of belonging, that you feel supported and encouraged. Because we're not supposed to be orphans without a family. We're not supposed to be a piece of wood that's not connected to a building. We're not supposed to be a hand that's just floating out without a body. That'd be really weird, something you'd see on TV or, you know, one of those horror movies. We're not supposed to be a sheep without shepherds. And we're not supposed to be disconnected and not fruitful in our life. God wants to use the church and the people in the church to help you to go where God wants you to go. And so the thing, bottom line, I want you to take away from this is you need the people in the church, and the people in the church need you. And so the question for you as we close up this morning is, how can you lean more deeply into that? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What can you do to intentionally invest and connect yourselves more deeply to the people in the church? What can you do? Because in reality, the people in the church need you, and you need the people in the church. There's a lot of opportunities coming up this summer. Refresh groups are starting up. There's a lot of community events. And I want to encourage you to work hard at getting more connected. Connect with one another, because that's an important part of when the church starts becoming my church, your church. It starts to be a place where you can really belong. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you so much for this word. And we know for many of us it's challenging because it's so much easier to stay isolated. It's so much easier to just have our relationship with you and be satisfied with that. But God, we know that you want more for us. We know that you give us different people in our lives so that we can grow in you. And that God, you want to use other people to help us to have the belonging that you've created us to have. And so Lord, I pray that you would help us to have the courage to step forward, to get more connected with one another, to grow together. Because God, we know that we're not just a part of you, but we're part of your family. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to more deeply be loved by one another, but also to love one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.